Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of the official Dom J Radio Show. However you're listening, whatever digital streaming platform you're utilizing, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for liking the show. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for subscribing. We have a special guest on this episode, and I'm definitely looking forward to the conversation I am having with her. We also have another number of guests coming up in some future episodes. So if you haven't caught up on, you know, some of the episodes in the past, definitely take time to go back and review the catalog. I went 4 for 4 during the month of March, took the first week really of April off to celebrate my brother JJ and Janiqua getting married. So shout out to them. It had a lovely, lovely wedding in Dallas, Texas. Got to see friends and family, got to see moms and the in-laws as well. So it was a really beautiful time, a very blessed occasion, and a very special celebration. So definitely wanted to send a shout out to them as they begin their journey in being newlyweds. Definitely love seeing that black love. So we'll jump into everything on the show after this brief message. Litter boxes, toilet exteriors, tubs and shower walls, finished hardwood, sealed granite, stainless steels, got a mess? New 40% thicker cleaning, 2 times better Clorox disinfecting wipes can get the job done. They kill 99.9% of virus and bacteria, Staph, E. coli, MRSA, Salmonella, Strep, Kleb, kill cold and flu viruses, all of that with Clorox disinfecting wipes. Ladies and gentlemen, on the show today, we have a very, very special guest. I'm honored to have one of the brightest young black sports reporters out here in Florida joining me on the show, a Miss Angel Wells. How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing well, doing well. Can't complain. So, you know, just please introduce yourself to the pod. Tell them a little about who you are and how you've gotten into the sports journalism world.
Yes, well, first of all, thank you for having me on your podcast. And yes, my name is Angel Wells. I am a second-year student at the University of Florida majoring in journalism, sports, and media. And right now, I work for ESPN Gainesville, and I am also a member of the National Association of Black Journalists. Mm-hmm. And I am from Orlando, Florida, and it has always been my dream since I was in the second grade to become an ESPN sports broadcaster. So I knew that coming to UF that it would definitely be a possibility to lead me to my journalism endeavors.
Okay, that's pretty dope. It's pretty dope to have that vision from a young age and to really see it through to fruition. I always admire people like that. People like yourself and doctors and lawyers, people who knew what they wanted to do and then end up doing exactly that. So that's beautiful. Of course. With 2020, I know like last year was pretty crazy and hectic for everybody. And I know the pandemic caused a number of changes. From your perspective, how did the industry sort of change for you or around you?
Going on from home, not being able to have contact with literally any of the players or even attend any events in person for sports journalism. So interviews mm-hmm. all going on Zoom, things like that. I was able to conduct interviews for the Super Bowl and for the College Football National Championship this game, and just interviewing those players all through Zoom. It is just definitely takes some getting used to, but I honestly think it'll be something that is used going forward.
Yeah, and that was going to be something I spoke about because, of course, in prepping for today, looking at your content and just seeing, you know, you had interviews with players, like you said, in the national championship game from Ohio State and from Alabama during Super Bowl week. You're speaking with some of the most high profile NFL athletes, including Mahomes, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Mike Evans, Brady Gronk, all the big names, basically. So what was that experience like? Because, again, I know you've done it in person for Pro Bowls in previous years, but this year it was virtual.
It was amazing, though, honestly. So on Zoom, it's just the raise your hand function, right? And
yeah.
You honestly don't know if you're going to be called. And mind you, I don't work for one of those prominent networks yet. So I'm just, you know, a student reporter hoping I get called on. And with that Mike Evans interview, as you mentioned, you know, I literally making to his Zoom meeting at the last second because I didn't get called on for Tom Brady, and I just praised the raise your hand. I pressed the raise your hand button, and they were just like, Angel Wells from NABJ Sports, and I was like, oh, shoot. And then next thing you know, the question that I asked him ended up being featured on SportsCenter. It was crazy. and, you know, like you said, like Mahomes, all those guys, like, I genuinely did not know I would be called on, but I mean, I had my questions there prepped, and it was like my heart was racing. Like, it was just like, you know, a surreal experience.
So. Yeah, that's pretty dope. So, I mean, what are your thoughts on how you see the sports industry returning to normal? If even, obviously, I know there's going to be a new normal as sort of everybody's, you know, calling it. Do you think it'll happen sooner or later this year? Because I know they're starting to have fans in some of the stadiums and stuff like that. What's your outlook on it from that perspective?
So as far as sports journalism, I'm hoping, because I know some people are returning to in-person internships and stuff like that, but some are still remaining virtual. They even said the NABJ conference this year that was supposed to be in Houston, Texas, and next year it's in Vegas, but this year it's in Houston. They said this year it will remain virtual as well.
Okay.
So I think people are still being cautious. As far as, like, stadiums, I'm hoping they just announced here at UF, like, yesterday or 2 days ago that our athletic director is hoping for a full capacity stadium in the fall, and a lot of other schools in the SEC are doing that as well.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw the Buffalo Bills yesterday. They announced that they want to have a full capacity stadium with fans, but they have to show all proof of vaccination. So I think it's going to be, yes, like, things as far as, like, you know, everybody needs to be vaccinated, or maybe you need to show proof of testing negative for COVID. But I do think fall 2021 will look more normal because of this vaccine.
Okay. Yeah, no, and I could definitely see that, because I know some of the chatter is about having vaccine passports and all of that. So it feels like I just recently went through the vaccination experience myself. So I figure it'll just be something I carry in the future when I'm going to stuff, basically like a driver's license.
Right, right. And, you know, like, it's been required, even when you go out the country, sometimes they want to see proof of vaccination to go to certain countries, or they say that you need to, you know, have this vaccine in order to travel to this country.
Right.
So, you know, I don't think it's nothing like new necessarily. So, and I mean, as long as, like you said, you get to travel and things like that, I mean, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. So what's some advice you have for other young Black women trying to break into the sports journalism industry? Because I know, like, not everybody ends up on ESPN and Fox, but seeing yourself already sort of in those spaces and working with those sort of networks, what's some advice you'd pass down to future generations?
I would say for future generations to get started as soon as possible. If you have a dream and you have a goal in mind, do not wait until, you know, you're a senior in college to get started, or until you start taking classes for your major. Do it as soon as you step your foot into the door of your university, or whatever school you go to. It could even be a community college. Like, if you have a goal in mind, just do it from the jump as soon as you start. And that's what I did. I think I just showed initiative as soon as I stepped foot on campus my freshman year in 2019, and I just immersed myself into the journalism school immediately. And just start building your resume from a young age. Even if, you know, you want to host a podcast like yourself, or you want to, you know, start a YouTube channel or anything, like, start it now. Like, why wait?
Right.
You know, like, call it when you're supposed to do that. And honestly, just reach out to people, network, like, email people. Like, you know, don't be afraid to put yourself out there, make yourself known. And definitely just, you know, develop relationships, join organizations, you know, for journalism, especially, like, you know, the NABJ. Like, immerse yourself with Black people, because, you know, we're all going to try to lift each other up at the end of the day. We're all that we have. So,
true.
That's good.
Absolutely. Well, no, I definitely appreciate that perspective and the insight. And just thank you, of course, for coming to the show and spending that time with me today. Thank you for educating, obviously, myself on and giving some insight into the sports journalism world and the audience. I know they'll appreciate this as well. Please tell the people where they can find you on all those social media platforms.
Yes, so on Instagram, I can be found at Angel_Wells. Twitter, I am at Angel C. Wells. And I was trying to think if there's any more. No, those are my only social media accounts. right now. So, but yeah, thank you so much for having me on this podcast. It was awesome getting to talk to you about Sportshare and Wesley today.
No, thank you for your time, and I look forward to seeing all the wonderful and exciting works that you'll be doing in the future.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The former Minnesota police officer who murdered Dante, because that's basically what that was, Miss Kimberly Potter, who resigned earlier this week, turned in a badge on Tuesday and posted a $100,000 bond hours after her arrest on Wednesday, recently appeared for the online video hearing with her lawyer in the office. Of course, the family wants full accountability for Dante's death. And as you know, if you've been on the internet or seen anything, her statements immediately after it were that she was going for a taser and not her Glock. And so you just have those in the moment reactions where if you're a trained professional, trained to carry firearms, munitions, anything that has the capacity, the sort of stopping power, if you will, to end a person's life as needed, especially in that line of duty, because of course we respect police officers, we respect firemen for, you know, putting their lives on the line, we respect our armed forces for being willing to put their lives on the line, but in the same capacity we have to hold them to certain standards. For a trained officer to say that she confused her taser with her Glock is just indefensible in my estimation, because one, there's typically a fail-safe. They're on two different sides of your body, for starters. Guns typically on the left. From these positions, the taser's on the right. So, boom, okay. So, you know, you got to remember, what hand do I keep typically on my weapon versus what hand do I keep by the taser? Associating your left and your right hand. So, we have that sort of delineation where, okay, you'd expect that. Okay, so again, when you're getting ready to launch a gun, there's typically, again, the trigger. You've got to know how to pull said trigger when you're putting your finger on it. If there's a failsafe or whatever sort of release you have on said weapon, I'm sure that's going to carry a certain weight to it, obviously, because, again, we're talking about a weapon that has munition, has ammo in it, so it's going to be heavier than a taser. Pretty standard taser, you know, not going to be anywhere near comparison insofar as the weight between the two. So again, man, that was just a pretty crazy ass statement, I thought, for somebody to come out and say, I just sort of mixed up the weapon. I was trying, you know, resolve this traffic stop for, it turns out they pulled him over for what was an expired vehicle registration tag. And then, of course, once you're pulled over, then they run your stuff. They run your information. They found he had an outstanding warrant for his arrest on a misdemeanor firearms offense. It appeared from the video, according to the city's police chief that was assigned as her training officer, that she mistook her gun for a taser. So again, man, that's just pretty wild in my estimation. Before the hearing, members of the Wright family and their lawyers gathered at the church in Minneapolis, because of course, oddly enough, in the midst of the Derek Chauvin trial for his murder of George Floyd, Minneapolis decides they're going to continue wilding out in the Brooklyn Center, which is outside of that. It's a Minneapolis suburb. So apparently, I guess Minneapolis, y'all are just still wilding, even in the midst of a trial for similar sort of murder. The last few days, everybody has asked me what we want to see happen. Wright's mother, Katie Wright, said, I do want accountability, 100% accountability. But even when that happens, if that happens, we're still going to bury our son. And it gets no realer than that, man. I mean, like I said, the shooting of Wright sparked nightly demonstrations and civil unrest this past week in the Brooklyn Center, which is just miles from the courthouse where a white former Minneapolis policeman is standing trial on murder charges over kneeling on the neck of George Floyd from last year, as we all know. and that was over the suspicious passing of a bogus $20 bill. You've had about 400 demonstrators, even just last night, gathering outside the Brooklyn Center Police headquarters, many of them lighting candles at dusk, some individuals in the crowd shouting taunts at the sheriff deputies or National Guardsmen that were posted outside of a double barricade of concrete and chain link fencing in front of the building. So you know how they feel. They are so scared that they got to do all of that. Protesters toss water bottles and other objects over the barricades periodically. But as darkness fell and the 10 p.m. curfew neared, the crowd was dispersing and it had been smaller than it had been in the earlier part of the week. So this is, again, another one of those situations where we have it on film, got it on wax, got it on record, got it on video. In the video, she can be heard, Potter, that is, this murderer, because that's what I'm calling her, she murdered somebody. She can be heard shouting, taser, 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 as she draws her gun and opens fire on right in his car after he had just broken away from a fellow officer trying to handcuff. Then she's yelling out, holy shit, I just shot him. So I don't see how, as you're drawing from your hip a gun, how you don't feel that doesn't feel like a taser. Because again, man, we're talking about, you know, this instance was a single gunshot wound to the chest, made it a homicide. He died, obviously, getting shot in the chest there. How you thought that was a taser, friend, I'm not sure. I say friend facetiously there. If convicted, which we all obviously hope she is, she faces a maximum sentence of 10 years in prison and a $20,000 fine. Her lawyer did not respond to a request for comment before the hearing. Benjamin Crump, obviously a high-profile lawyer, he's the lawyer for the Wright family, said the shooting reflected a broader problem of law enforcement in the U.S. using excessive force and having a propensity to overpolice marginalized minorities, especially Black men. That's coming from Reuters. And so I just wanted to speak on that because obviously I wanted to send my thoughts and prayers to the Wright family. And I hate to even have to be speaking on it, hate to be having to give out more thoughts and prayers because, again, it's just senseless gun violence in the sense of people in positions of power abusing said power. People that are supposed to be responsible, held to certain standards, wanting that standard lowered when they make these sorts of mistakes. When I really feel like, no, man, if you're in this sort of capacity, we have to hold you to the highest of standards. Your level of standards that we have to hold you to are higher than ordinary civilians because you're a trained professional, supposedly a trained professional. So when mistakes are made in the medical field by those sorts of doctors, surgeons, malpractice suits follow, man, because you fucked up. Let's just call it a buck. You fucked up. And you need to pay for it, man. You're playing with people's lives or you're ending people's lives in certain cases. And so I hope the full extent of justice that can be afforded to the Wright family is afforded to them. But of course, obviously, that doesn't bring back the son that they lost. So I just wanted to speak on that because obviously, as a Black man in America, you hate to see this sort of bullshit continue. But these are the days and times that we live in, which is why I always tell y'all, man, stay woke in these police encounters, man. If you're trying to get home safely, you know the sorts of steps you have to take, moving slowly, not making too many motions here or there, even though you may be given, you know, contrasting instructions like provide me with your license and registration, but put your hands on the dashboard type of shit. And it's even happening to Army lieutenants, man. We have another video of the police wilding against somebody in uniform, tasing this man, and he's saying he's afraid to get out of his car, and the officer's responding that he should be. It's just absolutely insane, bro. The police are wilding the fuck out, and police reform, again, it just comes back to it, to where civil servants are forgetting that they're civil servants, yo. That they're people to be held accountable, that they're people to serve said people that are living in these streets, that are living in their communities. And if you don't know the people in your communities, then why are you working in said communities? There's a certain amount of relativity and deference that comes from people understanding the people that are in said communities. But that's a whole nother issue, man. We'll get into that at another time. Thank you for listening to the official Dom J Radio Show. The channel features artistic originals, special guest features discussing education and culture, and my takes on the latest news and sports. Subscribe to Official Dom J on WordPress and YouTube for more. Ladies and gentlemen, there you have it, episode 31 of the Official Dom J Radio Show. Thank you to our special guest, Angel Wells, for stopping by and talking sports journalism with the audience. Again, many thank yous to you. As always, y'all, thank you for liking, thank you for sharing, listening, subscribing to the show as we continue to grow. And as always, in the meantime, in between time, y'all stay blessed. Get plenty of rest, get plenty of water in your system, and mind your business. Stay woke and don't let them catch you slipping. Until the next episode, peace.